This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs on World Cerebral Palsy Day, now we bring you a discussion on raising awareness and mutual support for cerebral palsy. The participants are Dr. Surendra Singh Bisht, Senior Pediatrician, Swami Dayanand Hospital, and Omvesh Upadhyay, Anchor.
Today is World Cerebral Palsy Day, a global observance that shines much-needed spotlight on cerebral palsy and its impact on individuals, families, and communities. It serves as a platform to raise awareness about CP, which is a very popular acronym of cerebral palsy, and support those living with the condition and advocate for greater inclusion and understanding. For the year 2023, World Cerebral Palsy Day's theme is Together, Stronger. This theme highlights the importance of unity, collaboration, and mutual support within the cerebral palsy community and beyond. It also emphasizes that when individuals, families, caregivers, and communities come together, they become a powerful force for positive change and inclusion. And today, to raise more awareness on cerebral palsy, we have Dr. Surendra Singh Bisht with us in the studio. Welcome to the studio, Dr. Bisht.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Bisht, to begin the discussion, I would like to ask you very simple questions, but there are times when people are very confused about it, that please share with our listeners a brief overview of cerebral palsy. What is this condition?
Cerebral palsy is a condition. It's a motor condition when there is delayed motor milestones development and children are not able to attain motor activity at a given time, which is stipulated time. So there can be many reasons for this and there can be many association with it. It can occur because of some conditions during pregnancy, and it can be because of some events, unfortunate events or untoward events which occur at the birth, around the time of birth, and during the early initial years of brain development. Non-progressive disorder, it occurs because of any insult which is occurring to a growing, developing brain. And many conditions can do that. It can be because of infections, uterine infections. It can be because of intrauterine injuries, lack of blood supply, some chromosomal disorders, some inheritable disorders. It can be because of some infections after birth. And people are quite wary of having, can say, a turbulent delivery or a eventful delivery where baby needs to be taken out with much difficult labor, resulting in a difficult extraction of baby, which may lead to some injury to the brain. So all this can lead to conditions which ultimately lead to this clinical condition, a group of conditions which is known as cerebral palsy together. So it's actually, palsy means paralysis. So there is a weakness of muscles, a group of muscles, but it's a static disorder, but it gradually unfolds over time as the brain is growing. But it actually stabilizes by 6 to 7 years or so, when whatever milestone, motor milestones or so, the child was supposed to attain, should have attained by that time, and the brain, whatever the brain would have developed by that time, would have developed. And so by 6 or 7, it gets stabilizes. Before that, it just evolves. It's an evolving CP in initial years. But it becomes static around 6 years or so. You know what is the extent of brain damage and what is the result of that brain damage, which has led to the ultimate final kind of weakness which will come. And there are different types of, if you can say, topographically, or you can say the areas or the muscle groups which are involved causes weakness. It can be one half of the body, which is known as hemiplegia. It can be both the lower limbs getting weak, which is known as diplegia or paraplegia, or it can be all four limbs, which is quadriplegia. So all four limbs gets involved, and this leads to the different kind of disability levels. So according to the GMCFS classification, it has classified into 5, with one where yes, the person can walk but with some clumsiness. Second is with walk independently but would need support if going outdoors. Indoors is independently walking. And then third, fourth and fifth are when they need support, and then they need wheelchair, and they need some, and fourth and fifth is when they are absolutely not mobile at all, or bedridden only. So this is the kind of levels of disabilities, or you can say weaknesses, which can occur in cerebral palsy.
So Dr. Bisht, you do talked about the situation and the condition that the individual might face who is suffering from CP. What are the triggers or situations in which a patient might develop CP after pregnancy, and there are general conceptions that it is a genetic disorder. Is it true?
It can be genetic disorder, but not all conditions. It can be because of birth-related complications during birth, which is mostly blamed. The doctors and nurses around that time are blamed mostly, but it only accounts only 10 to 20% of the total CP cases. Many of the conditions are idiopathic, unknown. There are some metabolic conditions, there are some genetic conditions, there are some infections which are there in utero during pregnancies, which may lead to these conditions. A small head kind of condition and a brain which doesn't develop. So it need not be any one of them. It's a conglomeration of a lot of causes.
The listeners might be very interested in to know what are the precautions or prevention that one can do to safeguard themselves from this condition, and also, is there any cure available right now?
Cerebral palsy is actually a diagnosis when the event has occurred. Whatever event has to occur has occurred. Then you only make a diagnosis of cerebral palsy because the weakness has already started. So the damage has also occurred. How can you prevent it? Yes. Many ways of preventing is by doing a good antenatal care. The adolescent mother need to have proper nutrition. The antenatal screening, the checkups, when we do checkup of mothers during antenatal clinics, they are telling you about the brain growth size, brain, any event like cord around the neck or the cord malformations or the abnormal positions of the placenta. And all those issues around the birth, which may lead to some bleeding or something, or lack of blood supply to developing brain inside the womb. So those conditions, if the fetus is being monitored in the antenatal clinic well by the doctors there, and the family visits the doctors regularly, so that can in one way assure us that the baby is going to be fine at and around birth. Good fetal surveillance, surveillance about fetal well-being is done by the doctors who are around in that 24 to 48 hours of time, which is a perinatal period when birth is about to happen. And that is a time when if people are more careful, so some of the events, untoward events or tragic events can be prevented. And in postnatal period, immunizing against all preventable diseases, like giving H influenza B in a pentavalent vaccine, which we are giving pneumococcal vaccine. These will prevent against meningitis, and meningitis is another condition which affects brain. Meningitis in the early infancy may lead to cerebral palsy.
As we are discussing this very important topic on the day of World Cerebral Palsy Day, what is the significance of this day right now? How important it is to mark this day and talk about cerebral palsy?
Mr. Padhe, it is so important to make people aware. People are not at all aware of even cerebral palsy. You know, even in the medical community, this is one of the topics which was less read, less talked about. It is people have given up because they want to save those who have good outcomes. Here is a disease has resulted in a condition which doesn't seem to be normal. So that is the motto of this year, together. So make it stronger. So together we can be stronger. So that is something, if until and unless we all know about it, the doctors, the healthcare personnel also are aware of it, and the general public, which is absolutely unaware. They see few pictures somewhere and they feel pity about people. It is to generate sympathy. If you want to generate sympathy in a movie or a picture, you show a picture of a child who is walking clumsily or falling down with crutches, or you're showing movies where a child has a drooling saliva and then making some abnormal sounds and in a wheelchair kind of things, or bedridden child. So these are images which haunt us. These are images which doesn't inspire. It doesn't bring up hope. So to have Together we can make it stronger, our generation, because these are not everyone who is spastic is in this condition. And we don't want our children to have that level 3, 4, 5 kind of disabilities. We can pick them early. We can do disability limitation by providing them some early intervention, early care. That is the kind of awareness which will be required, and that will actually prevent pushing up of babies' disabilities from level 1, 2 to level 3, 4. So that kind of containment, you can say, we can do if you make this day, we celebrate this day together, and we can make people aware that since if some event has occurred at around birth, but the brain is growing for next 6 years or so, and developing brain, and there is a hope when the other areas of brain can take up the function of the area which was been damaged. So there are means. There are means by doing some physiotherapy, occupational therapies, early intervention, speech therapy, orthotics, and all that, that disability can be limited and they can have a very meaningful and life later on.
Absolutely. And just to get a better idea about this condition in Indian context, what are the stats of people who are suffering from this condition in India, and also how in the medical industry, overall in government's effort, we are doing to find a better cure and better therapy for the patients and individuals of cerebral palsy?
Mr. Padhyay, to have stats, you know, what is the condition of collecting statistics in such a big country with such large humongous population. So having the right kind of statistics have its own issues. So the incidence, which has been found in many studies, is 3 per 1,000. So it is not rare. And, you know, we have around a crore of children being born every year, more than a crore, so some 2 crores children being born every year. So if 3 per 1,000 is a number, how many numbers can be there? A big, big number is actually becoming spastic every year. So it's a big number. 3 per 1,000 is a big number. Delhi is having annual births of around 3 lakhs. What if you multiply it by 3 per 1,000, what will be the number? It's a big number. It will come in thousands. So many babies will actually have spastics. Do we have the facilities to take care of them? Is the government doing some actions, proactive actions towards that? Yes. So for this, government actually started a program, Rashtriya Bal Swasthya Karyakram, and District Early Intervention Center under it, where such children in every district of India, District Early Intervention Center has been established, where we are providing them holistic approach of almost 12 specialists of different specialties. Like, there will be a physiotherapist, there will be early interventionist, there will be a speech therapist, there will be an audiologist, there will be a psychologist, there will be an optometrist, there will be a pediatrician, there will be a nurse, there will be a social worker. All those are being put together in one area so that the family of a spastic child need not run from pillar to post and from room, every room in the whole of building, from here and there, taking that spastic child from one corner to another, and sometimes in different parts of city. Or different part of country. So all has been envisaged in one facility under one roof. So this program actually takes care of this, and early intervention is a keystone to prevent disability.
Since we are talking about this condition that do have some sort of social stigma related to it, in your experience, what common misconceptions you have seen related to patients of cerebral palsy?
Like, Chupade, so, you know, the families start up with that guilt and shame. Stigma is something the society is failing to accept them as their own. So anything which is not falling in the so-called normal category is stigmatized and is not accepted, which is so unfortunate, because until and unless the society accepts them as their own, involves them in all kind of activities inside, playing inclusive schools, sitting them together with other children, taking care of the needs of them, sensitizing the children in the classrooms from early age how to take care of a differently abled or specially challenged children together, then only they will realize that in the future as adults also, they get sensitized towards them and they know what are the challenges such a adult will have later in life. So I think society needs to, the stigma is, the families need to stand up, and there are strong, as we were discussing earlier, Satya Nadella, the good ones, the people who are there, like Arun Shori, they had spastic children and they took care of them, and they took them to all places with them, didn't hide them in their own houses, took them around. It takes a lot of courage on the part of families and their relatives and the societies to accept it and then provide the environment, ecosystem, where such a development, normal, or you can say, optimal development of such children can be done.
Absolutely. And Dr. Bisk, you raised a very important point about inclusion, that the patients who are suffering from this condition and also their families, they don't need your mere sympathy, but the opportunities that they deserve and also environment that in which they feel inclusive. So when we talk about this, what as a society, as a community, we can do if we see one patient who is suffering from cerebral palsy in our society? So as a individual who is in that society, what we can contribute to?
So those afflicted with this condition, the systems like government has already started a RVSK program, and so these, the benefits of it must taken by the families, concerned families, they should be made aware of this. I think programs like this and campaigns like this can certainly make the families aware of a center where a holistic involvement can be done when you are trying to limit their hearing issues, their vision related problems, their convulsions if they are having seizures, their limitation of the medical management is provided. There, if there are some contractures and there is some toe walking or the cross-legged, so related surgeries can be done. Those single, even multiple level surgeries can be done so that the child is not exposed to different kind of surgeries at different point of time. So one day one part of the body is getting operated and another day another part of the body is getting operated. So the team together sits together and they make so that the child is not exposed to multiple surgeries. So they do a single event, multiple level surgeries also can be done together. So this is one thing. There are assistive devices which can be used, orthotics, so that the functional, the activity of daily living, like bathing, walking, moving around, can be done in such children, if that can be done. And if assistive devices are required, like wheelchairs, motorized wheelchair. So I was in Melbourne for some time doing my observership there. And I found that in the city, in the middle of the day, when there are hardly any people, a person was moving around in a motorized wheelchair, was not accompanied by one person. And he was just moving around, crossing the red lights, crossing the zebra crossings. And people were sensitized toward it. He was going to his market and procuring things for himself. Recently also I saw one motorized assisted person doing check-in in the airport in Colombo last month only. So people are there and there are ways to make them independent, confident, and there are many people who are working like this. So we should provide more of such opportunities. You don't need to buy such costly motorized devices. It looks very fancy and movie-like things. But you can, even with simpler things like simple orthotic devices also, a lot of functional improvement can be done and it brings better quality of life to these patients.
And when by every passing day we are hearing some good and positive news in the medical science field, are there any exciting developments or advancements in the field of cerebral palsy research or treatments like physiotherapy you are talking about, cognitive rehabilitation, anything that you would like to highlight in this?
So, there are development, so there are a lot of development in this. So there are physiotherapy which actually improves the muscle power, and which, you know, the relative muscles power and how can those be countered. Occupational therapies, therapists actually working and giving some targeted, goal-directed actions are taken at every visit, and they know we need to make the child sit. We would like the child to walk in a few days and do something, hold a pen, hold a cup, hold a glass, can able to comb his hair, is able to take bath by himself. And if those who are doing more than this, how to their comprehension, their understanding, their learning, their education, how can that be improved? How special educators can improve a child who is having, because of spasticity, having some slurring, some drooling, and is making some abnormal sounds, how that speech can be improved by doing some maneuvers. And if there are some computerized voice synthesizers, then voice can be synthesized and whatever he wants to speak can be synthesized that also. Even those computerized voice synthesizers can help. So, and for hearing and for vision, because they are likely to develop squint and myopia and refractive error, then they would require glasses early in the age. They may require hearing devices early because of those. So all those, if provided at the right time, when the speech is developing, when they are starting their education, will actually improve their learning, their experience of education, and the outcome in terms of their functionality, their productivity will certainly be better.
So you are saying that with new tech innovations and abiding by the therapy and treatment, there can be significant improvement.
So, that abiding by therapy is good, because, you know, abiding means it's kind of making people stand in line and coming every time. Had it been a country like China and people would have done so, certainly so. So, making families aware of it, making family follow the protocol and visit every time is important. But the families get tired. The families, it is draining, it is emotionally draining, it is economically draining to them, financially drain. Every time visiting a health facility, even if it is a government facility, it requires some kind of money. It is draining on the family, and there is a loss of wages. And if mother and father both working, it becomes quite challenging to take such a child to such. That is why it has been envisaged that it only one day will be lost, even if it is a loss of wages of the family. But the whole things will be done together. All the therapies can be provided at one go, at one sector. So that is the kind of premise with which this Rashtriya Bal Swasthya Karyakram was started.
And you raised a very important point, that how draining and exhaustive it becomes for the family of the sufferer. I do want to talk about, you mentioned about Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella and the condition his child was bearing. To mention that Satya Nadella was a very significant advocate about this condition, and he also wrote a letter to his son who suffered from cerebral palsy, highlighting the emotional trauma that the patient and their families experiences while living with this condition. So Nadella wrote evocatively about his experience as a father and how CP affected their relationship forever. Now you do talked about this in very brief. Whenever we look over this condition, we know that it is exhaustive financially. We know that with this condition comes a lifelong emotional trauma, and it is not very easy for any parent to see their child in this. So what one message you want to give to the parents and to the society?
Mr. Upadhyay, hope. Hope is what the family should have. Hope is what brings them to the hospital. Hope is what they should keep having if they want to have these children better outcome. I think these all three situations, there is nothing but hope which brings them together, and joining together, making it stronger, is having hope for a better this. So not giving them false hope, the pretense of actually treating them like they, what happens is with this trauma, they are going from pillar to post, and even for minor things, some Baba or some quacks will be saying, we will treat them, we have treated so many of cases, and they end up either spending money or they get drained by failures, by those emotionally, it is such a, every time the child is not improving by this Baba or that mantra and that village pilgrimage, it challenges them badly, and it actually frustrates them, and it leads to, rather than having hope, they become hopeless and they give up on the therapies which are available, which could have actually done some improvement, which could have at least limited some disabilities, or rather that could have reduced the progress of the problem. So they give up, and that is something which they should not. That is what I said, hope, hope, hope. But don't have a false hope of going to Babas, going to these things, going to some treatment modalities, or we'll do some kind of a stem cell and something like that, and all that newer fancy things coming from here and there. Some, I don't want to take any other pathies treatment also, but hope is very much important.
So you very rightly pointed out that parents who are in this should not like follow any type of superstition, any type of,
they become prey to all these people. These are, you know, I may use a very bad word, if this, those with chronic conditions, these are the people who are likely to be, you know, kind of fooled by, say, or you can say manipulated,
tricked by
manipulated or tricked by these kind of events. And this is what makes business for all these people. And these vulnerable people, very gullible people who have nobody but no hope now. They become so hopeless. They can go to any person to at least seek any treatment like this. यही कर लेते हैं. Let's try this. The doctor has said nothing is going to happen. Let's try this. So they will try anything which comes their way.
Then when we are talking that we have to create a more inclusive environment for everyone who is with us in the society, for people who are suffering from the cerebral palsy, government do talked about that there are very good chances and there should be equal opportunities for people who are suffering from this condition. That's why they initiated Gyan Prabha, a portal that allows you to pursue vocational training, professional courses or even a degree in graduation in whatever that you want to study. How significant it is for people who are suffering from cerebral palsy and also in giving them the share of equal opportunities.
So as I told you, there is a spectrum of conditions. Very mild cerebral palsy to very severe one. Though we see images, bad images of a very severe CP. So there are mild cases which needs to be there. And they can certainly be included in general population in many ways. The people need to be sensitized towards them, to their needs also. And they can certainly do various kind of vocations. The government has actually kept up a provision of reservation of persons with disability, PWD category, where these people get preferences in admissions to colleges, engineering college, medical college, IAS officer, civil services, any jobs. So persons with disabilities are given preferences and they are preferred and for those jobs, and then the similarly promotional and training opportunities and avenues are provided.
Absolutely. And all of this is done under the Ministry of Social Justice and Department of Empowerment of Persons with Disabilities, because the government and we all believe that recognizing the persons with disability constitute a valuable human resource for the country and that a majority of such persons can lead a better quality of life.
When people think of inclusion, they tend to think of school and academics, integrating special needs that children need when we think about general education classrooms, but inclusion is important in play and recreation too. Children with physical disabilities like cerebral palsy too often get left out. This doesn't necessarily happen intentionally, but people make quick judgments about what they think a disabled child can do, and those are often wrong. With encouragement and some adaptive equipment, every child can get the much deserved and needed involvement. And this is, in real terms, then only we'll talk about inclusion.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bist, for joining us today in Akashvani and highlighting us with insightful information. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
On World Cerebral Palsy Day, you were listening to a discussion on raising awareness and mutual support for cerebral palsy. The participants were Dr. Surendra Singh Bist, Senior Pediatrician, Swami Dayanand Hospital, and Omvesh Upadhyay, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 928-9094044.